Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 216. On today's episode, we have an interview with Carl Kennedy and Mike from the band Kennedy, and we'll be talking to them in a little bit. But first, the normal shenanigans. Anybody have any big news? Music news.
Well,
the Motley Crue tour got postponed for a whole year. Yeah. So there is now a meme going around with the koala with eucalyptus leaves hanging out of its mouth that says Vince Neil when he realizes that he's been eating six salads for six months.
Actually, I heard something the other day that he is like, I guess there hadn't been any pictures of him. He's been kind of hiding, I guess, to a degree. Right. But he's lost like a person.
Really? Yeah. I think we've discussed this before. Oh. You know, there was a picture posted of him getting ready to go into surgery with something about having something fixed on his hand that's overdue.
Right.
Apparently, it was having the fork removed.
Might have been. Yeah. No,
I don't know. But, you know, he said he was going in for hand surgery and come out, you know, like 100 or so pounds lighter. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's done that, you know, because that's not that I have room to talk. I'm down like 4 or 5 pounds this past.
Well, I'm glad to see he did it, because that time we saw him on the farewell tour thing,
he was in pretty bad.
He forgot to prep for a tour in the summer. The first leg was going to be in outdoor stadiums. He forgot all about that part, I guess. I don't know what he was thinking, but
hey, Vince, you want to come on the show?
He thought they said chicken leg. Turkey leg.
Instead of first leg?
Yeah.
Shed leg? He thought that shed leg.
Oh, my gosh. Leg, you know. We're all going
it's,
to hell.
It's true. Dude. I mean, you know, yeah, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Yeah, that's good. You know.
Yeah, hopefully
for him and
hopefully
whatever. They
were singing a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah. So we finally got, Brian and I had tickets to see Warrant. It got postponed to the fall, and now it's been postponed to March of 2021. So
yeah, my Styx show has not been canceled yet, but that's in July. I think that'll probably get canceled. Our indie one for, what was it? Kansas. That one's been now post or
yeah. The Foreigner show has been canceled. Yeah. Right.
So
yeah, that whole tour got canceled.
Yeah. So, but I haven't got my money yet. So
I didn't buy a ticket yet. I was just going to get.
I did. So I need some. Seat, so. They owe me some money.
I got.
Of course,
my
it'll
money
take them
back.
30 days to get the money to you.
Well, right. Yeah, not necessarily. I got my money back for my Ruoff lawn passes. You know, they said that it would take up to 90 days to get it back, and like 5 days later, it was in my account.
Oh, I probably ought to check that then, huh?
Yeah, cool. I was. They sent me an email that said that it had been returned. So.
Well, when I've had that happen before, that's what's happened. So, I'm surprised that I didn't get that. So, we'll see. But anyway, let's see. I don't really have anything else. I got some albums. We're going to do a little of that, but
yeah, I did. Oh, and Bob Kulick passed away.
Oh, and, yeah, that's probably important.
Yeah, and like I said, hate to hear that. I hope. I don't know. I don't think it happened, but I would hope that Bob and Bruce maybe made up a little bit beforehand. I don't know. There's no really information about what causes death, and I'm not really saying anything right now. I'm sure we'll find out at some point, but I'm hoping that it wasn't sudden, you know, like where he didn't have a chance to make amends, you know, that would really suck.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
that'd be bad
because it got really ugly toward the end.
Some rock throwing going on.
There was a lot of rock throwing. So I mean, so our thoughts out to Bruce and his family, and because they just lost their mom within the last year, wasn't it, or a couple
I
years?
Think so,
ago.
Yeah. No, so, yeah. Within the last year, I think.
Yeah, within the last year. So anyway, Bruce has had a pretty rough time. So our thoughts go out to him and his family, and like I said, hopefully they made peace before him. So. All right. I got no records this week.
You got no records? All right.
Two on order, but still haven't received them. And one should have been here because it's been released already. So I'm kind of pissed about that.
All right. I'm going to buzz through these and we'll just get done with it. How's that?
Buzz it.
All right. So when I was in Evansville this weekend, actually Dennis and Alan and I got to get together and have some chips and a drink the other day. And Brian met us, which is kind of cool.
I skipped the chips.
That's right. He did. He did.
I just enjoyed the drinks.
Yeah. He just had more drinks than chips.
It was good to see everybody, though.
It was good. Anyway, so I did spend some time. I went by Book Broker in Evansville and ran in there, and I was like, yeah, I'll see if they got anything. And I was like, oh, they got this, and they got that, and they got this, and they got that. Oh, my God, I'm in trouble.
But they're never really expensive there, so that's
good. No, that wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't bad. I was checking them on Discogs, and I was doing it, and so they weren't bad. And some of it's stuff that I've been looking for and just couldn't find, so that's good. Cool. All right, so first up, I got Tom Petty's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Pack up the Plantation live.
I haven't seen that one down there.
This is from I forget what this is from. 1985. Yeah, 1985. Just quick track listing. It's got So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star, Needles and Pins, The Waiting, Breakdown, American Girl, It Ain't Nothing to Me, Insider, Rocking Around with You. Refugee, I Need to Know, Southern Accents, Rebels, Don't Bring Me Down, You Got Lucky, Shout, and Stories We Could Tell. So I haven't listened to this yet, but this is one that I've seen a couple times, right. And it's kind of seen, right. And it's in some of the auctions, and it's kind of hard to find. So I think that was a pretty good deal.
And I love our friends at Book Broker, and I love me and the guy get along real good down there. But if he keeps putting them fucking stickers in the middle of the album covers, I'm going
to. Yeah, you need to talk to him about that.
I really do.
And he has some little thing about if you take their albums out and check them.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to do that.
Well,
he guarantees it.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that one of these that he's marked, he didn't check because I got home and checked it, and it doesn't look too good, and I live 3 hours away, so I'm not very happy.
Okay. But the sticker thing pisses me off.
Yeah, it's just dumb. I mean, people are collecting this stuff, so put it on the back or put it somewhere else. Stupid.
He's a post-it note.
Yeah, something, anything. So I got Big Country in a Big Country. I think we picked this up before, Dennis. I had this on CD for a while, but a long time ago. Van Halen, Diver Down.
Ooh,
good. Yep, picked that up.
What was that? How much was that?
$10.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's in pretty good shape. Mm. Wait a minute. This may be the one that, shape.
Okay.
Not what I would call near mint at all. Right. Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare.
Really? Man, I missed out. He must have got some stuff in then since I've been
there. I told you I was saving stuff for you down there.
Yeah, son of a bitch. I've got that, though.
Yep. Survivor, which is their second record, which is actually their third. Mm-hmm. So Eye of the Tiger was the first one. This is the third one. This is one I've been looking for and have not seen. So I got that one.
Cool.
When Seconds Count. Foreigner, Agent, Provocateur. I've been looking for this one. Every time I find it's like $6 or $7. It was $5. So I'm like, yeah, well, for $5.
Speaking of that album.
That's an F.
I never noticed that.
You knew where I was going with that. Are you one that never ever noticed that before?
No, never noticed.
I never did either till somebody posted it on there, and they go, "You know, that's an F." And I'm like, going, "Oh, it's just not. It's not colored cubes. It's an F."
I thought it was just colored cubes. I'm like, "That's pretty."
And then you look at the back
of it, and the back of it's the same way. You don't really pay attention to it. What a bunch of morons. Oh, we're a bunch of morons, aren't we? And then this is something I've been looking for and have not seen, and this is in really good shape. This is Bon Jovi's first album.
Damn, so that's nice.
It was only $8.
Well, and I'm glad you got down there before I did, because you wouldn't be getting those.
I know it. So I picked this stuff up. Good stuff here. And
good.
Yeah, that was like I'm like, I got it, and I had to put stuff away. I left some stuff. That's why I called you and said I left some stuff. So
did you go to Atmosphere?
I did go to Atmosphere. There wasn't anything there. Actually, I talked to Ashley. She said they haven't gotten any hair stuff in or metal stuff in for a long time. So
they've been.
But she said they're about ready to buy a
collection.
A collection out of somebody in California, but she's bought stuff from this guy before, and it's a little bit dicey when she does. It took a while to get the shipment, and she was a little nervous about it. So I don't know if she's gonna do it or not. But anyway,
okay, well, cool.
That's it. Is that it?
Anything else?
I believe that's it.
Okay, on to a fun episode, an interview with Carl and Mike.
Oh, why?
Tonight we're joined by Carl Kennedy and Mike Santacero. Is that close?
That's close.
That's close. We're going to take that. I even asked him before. Anyway, from the band Kennedy. So how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Nice day finally here.
Yep, we just finished a rehearsal for a live broadcast we're going to do soon. So from here in the studio where we wrote the album. So we're excited about that.
Okay, well, here's my one big question for the show. Are you guys playing your show from that studio?
We are.
Excellent.
And we're playing it live.
Okay, make sure that you send us the link and we'll share
it. Well, we're playing it live.
It'll be excellent, but it'll be live. Okay, cool.
All right, that's cool. All of my interview questions. No kidding.
So, Carl, you've been in the biz for a while. Have you also been in the biz for a while, Mike?
Well, probably singing since 85. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And, Carl, you started in the Rods. Is that correct?
That's right. 40 years ago, David and I have been together that long. This year, 2020, it's been 40 years since we hacked out that first piece of Rods music.
Wow. That's you don't crazy. Look like it's been 40 years.
Oh, no, it's been 40 years. If I took the glasses off, you guys would be shocked. You know? Oh, yeah, 40 years. I get it.
That's pretty cool. So it's kind of interesting. When we scheduled this, I listened to Stephen Wright from Potter Than Hell. I listened to his episode that he had not long ago talking about Dio's deep cuts. And he played Warrior in the middle of that. And we had just scheduled you guys for this interview. So it was pretty cool. So I emailed Steven today, told him I was going to drop his name a little bit. And he said, right, they're pretty good dudes. And they're really cool. So they'll be good. So,
and they're really knowledgeable. And Steve actually sequenced the Rods Brotherhood of Metal album.
Oh, cool. So you've known him for a while then.
He lives in the same town. And for years, you know, I have a daughter who's actually a music teacher now. And, but for years, I was the homeroom dad, you know, getting cupcakes, going on the field trips. Nobody knew me. I had my little Oxford shirt, the button down. And, you know, nobody knew who I was, that I had a past in a band called The Rods. Here I am with these little kids at school. And, you know, I didn't want anyone to know. And then one day I saw Steve Wright and Jim Polkowski and some other people. It just all happened in the supermarket. Like, they're looking at me. And they go, hey, are you Carl from the Rods? And I go, oh, well, here we go. It's a small town. It's out now. And then after that, now everybody knows. But I was trying to be fairly anonymous. But, yeah, they're great guys, and they really know their music.
Yeah.
Good. I think I'm doing an interview for Potter Than Hell in a couple of weeks myself.
Yep. It's yeah, they're really cool guys. We've met them at a couple of things that we do. We do a Rock and Pod Expo thing in Nashville every year. Mm-hmm. Not this year, of course, because everything's canceled this year, but we've done it for the last 3 years and we're looking forward to it again this year, but it got canceled. So we are, it's kind of fun, and maybe we can get you guys hooked up with that, because it's a great place for, you know, guys to get some exposure, and they have some bands at play, and it's a lot of fun. We have a great time, and you can get on a lot of different podcasts, and it's just it ends up being a bit of a party in the evening. at night after it's over, so we have a good time.
Plus it's in Nashville.
Yes.
Yeah, it's horrible. You know, if you have to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll
I had a real estate. I'm a realtor also, and I had a real estate convention in Nashville this year. I was really looking forward to it because I have a couple of friends there as well, and I was disappointed. But, you know, maybe next year.
Yeah. This has been the year of just major disappointments all around for everybody, it seems like.
It has been.
Everybody, you know, we're all healthy and we're all secure right now. So let's.
But what's not a disappointment is that record. That record is really, really good, man. I'm telling you.
I loved it.
Listen to it today. Listen to it a little bit over the weekend. Very impressed. It's good stuff. It's good to see some 80s rock get a little revised and sound a little different, but it's definitely got that groove and it feels good. Good, very good stuff.
Yeah, we're really proud of it. And like I said, you know, we came here and, you know, these guys, I play in a band with the bass player, Tony. So we play it in a group called the Jeffrey James Band, which is an 8-piece horn band. And so we've been playing, Tony joined 6 years ago. I've been playing with him for 22 years. Now I have somebody fills in for me when I go on tour, but I've been with the band all that time. And so Tony, you know, Tony came into Jeffrey James Band, which is a cover band, who he had listened to a Black Sabbath album and then had gone into a parallel metal universe for the rest of his career until he joined Jeffrey James. We would say, oh, we're going to do a Beatles song. Like, I don't know this song. You know, he just said total heavy metal guy his whole career. So Tony brought me into these guys who are, they actually have been in TLC. They're re-releasing Their album was Original Sin and On Heaven and Hell. And so that's how it started. But we started after I did a TV show with them that when the drummer couldn't make it, we decided we were going to start writing. So we came in here and tried to do every Monday. You know, it wasn't always every Monday, but we tried to come in here. And after a year and a half, we had the album and we'd become a band. So it was a great experience. And we're kind of fond of this funky place.
Well, it's
that's really cool.
It's really good, man. So do you want to talk about the track listing or anything? What are your favorite tracks on it? I know the single Warrior is just rocks balls, as Dennis would say, since he just left and can't hear us.
Well, I love Warrior. Mike, I don't know what songs you love. I actually don't have a song I don't like on the album, which is highly unusual because of all the albums I've done, recorded and produced, and there's always a song or two you're like, eh. But I actually love everything on the album, so I'm very proud of it. What do you love, Mike, on this album, your favorites?
The fact that we have an album. It's tough to get people together, like-minded people. And, you know, when after 18 years, when TLC wanted the Totally Lost Cause, wanted to get back together, and Carl came in the mix, like I was so excited about it. The first song that I wrote the lyrics for was Warrior, because it's basically, you know, it's kind of like the story of what happened to rock and roll after grunge took over, and it's an allegory for, you know, for my life and my journey after my world, like heavy metal collapsed, and you know, you call your local radio station and say, "Hey, I want to hear some Dio," and they're like, "We don't do any more cheeseball '80s stuff." I didn't know where to go. I really didn't, you know. So this is extremely exciting that there's an audience for the kind of music that we do now.
Well, it's good. Yeah, like I said, but that was one of the things, like Bill's mentioned too. You know, when you get an album out, that first song, you know, I'm one of those guys, that first song's got to hit me hard, or, you know, I can't keep going. And I was like, okay, what else you got? What else you got? Yeah. And I was loving it. Like I said, it's one of those things where I've said 100 times, you know, a lot of the new music coming out today, I just can't handle. And to hear something like that, that's new, it's refreshing.
That's great. Thank you. It's great to hear. We worked hard on the album, and
it sounds good too. Everything is mixed well. I mean, it's like a sledgehammer.
It sounds great. We have to credit Chris Collier. We recorded it. I recorded my drums at home, and Charlie recorded virtually everything else at his little studio. And but Chris Collier is the secret weapon. He is a great mix engineer. He mixed the Rods album, but he's mixed so many other Korn, Last in Line, so many bands. He's even doing the reissues of the Whitesnake stuff. So he's cool. A great mix engineer. Lucky we have him.
Yeah, it's
very. But you've had some producer experience yourself, is that correct?
I have. Yes.
For a few bands. Yeah,
I produced over 40 albums now. Wow, it's a little bit of experience.
Yeah,
and it's always a learning process. You know, it's always it's never the same. You know, and it's technical. It's becoming a psychiatrist or psychologist. You know, trying to get into what the band is trying to do and help them achieve that. It's just a lot of aspects of it besides the technical.
So did you produce this record and just have it engineered by somebody else, or did you have the other gentleman, he did the producing and the engineering, everything?
Charlie and I engineered it, but we all produced it. We all had a hand in it, and same with the songwriting. Mike would bring in a song, Tony would bring in a song, Charlie would bring in an idea. We'd all flesh it out here together, work on the arrangements, the feel, and so on, and the parts. And that's the way the album was done, same way. Very collaborative.
Yeah, you would think you would, like I would come to practice with what I thought was, you know, pretty much a song written front to back. And, you know, here's what it's like, and you just put the lead here, and it's good, you know, we'll have it done in no time. It just didn't happen that way. You know, so you got four guys ripping it apart, and then some kind of strange alchemy and chemistry goes on, and you wind up with something that was completely different than what you had in mind and what you started with. But when it was all over, you said to yourself, damn, I never could have done that by myself. And it's just so much better. So yeah. That's why it is a band. It is a really a band work. You know?
Definitely synergy involved. And I think that's why it does sound like we sound like we've been together a long time. And we have a lot of, like, the guys in the band, especially Tony and Charlie, they listen to a lot of modern music, as do I, and I'm sure Mike does. But also we have similar roots, you know, like I said about Tony and Black Sabbath. You know, he was a total metal guy his whole life. So a lot of commonality in terms of where we all come from and where we want to go with the music.
That's cool. So pre-COVID, did you guys have plans to go out and play this, yes, play this album and get going on the road? And then, like, yes, I said,
unfortunately. We did one show, and we were planning to, with the release of the album, start doing dates. And that all ended.
Wow.
Sadly. But you know what? We're getting ready to do this virtual concert. And I think that once this breaks, you know, we're going to start doing some dates, even if it's just regional, just sure, to get back. You know, we want to play. The nice thing about it is I think we nailed these songs live. So it's not often I can say that I've been in a band where when we recorded an album, when we hit the stage, we could basically duplicate that album and the mm-hmm. power and energy. Because most of the time that's probably the fault of overproducing it, but you know, the band, we were able to pull it off live, and I'm really proud of that.
That's good, because there are some bands that live they're great, but on a record it's just it just doesn't come mm-hmm. off. You don't get the energy, you don't get the, and I don't know, and that could be from maybe underproducing. I don't know that, you know, to your point, it could be the same thing. But it's just weird how that happens.
Well, it's too, you know, the studio is, you're under a microscope in the studio. Live, you know, it's warts and all, but it doesn't matter. It's a wash of sound, and a lot of things get absorbed in that wash of sound. But in the studio, every little nuance, and if you're not a good studio player, things show up. And what happens is psychologically, musicians start to lose energy because they're not focused on, oh, I have to make this perfect. And in doing so, they lose what made them great. And so that's what happens sometimes to musicians. They just overthink it, and it comes out very bland and watered down version of themselves.
That makes sense.
So where are you guys located at then? You're up in Northeast?
Right. Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And so you're all from the same area too, where you're not having to, where you can actually get, because we've talked to so many people here that recently that are put together. We just talked to Kansas the other day, three guys from Kansas, and they're all over the place. You know, they're having to send this and send this and send this, and they're putting this, I mean, I'm sure they do recordings together, but even when they want to do, you know, they just can't get together and do stuff or work on stuff. That's always, you know, you got that distance issue. So that's why I didn't know if you were all in the same
spot. That's really common anymore. Well, for me, I looked for musicians here for years, and I just never found like-minded musicians. I found great musicians, but never musicians I wanted to work with. So I was thrilled when these guys invited me to do that local TV show, and we all hit it off so well.
So are there clubs there? Is that where Mohegan Sun, is that close to there? Is that where some of the bigger bands play? And then,
Mohegan Sun and what's the other? Mount Airy.
Oh, and you have Montage Mountain to the
Montage
live.
Montage Mountain, yeah.
Big, huge live venue, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to grab this stand here quick.
Okay. Is his arm going to fall off?
I'll tell you what. I was really proud of the discipline I was showing right up until 30 seconds ago.
You did a good job, man.
It was like Survivor when they stick them out on the
Yeah, it's like, how long can you last for holding this shit?
20 minutes.
I am naked and unafraid.
That was last week's show. Yes.
So when you guys are not recording and writing music, what are you listening to?
No, what's really strange is I can't listen to the radio. I really can't anymore because it's foreign to me. And I don't want to sound like I'm in a box. And that's what all the old folks say. If it doesn't sound like what you grew up with, you know, you're closed-minded and stuff. The thing I like to say is, you know, when I was growing up and I was listening started getting into music, and I was listening to Boston and Kansas and Styx and ELO, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, if music is this great now, I can only imagine what my kids are going to be listening to, right? My kids won't even listen to that shit, you know? They're going through my old Ozzy and my old Kiss collection to listen to that. They won't listen to what's on the radio, you know? My daughter is a bass player, pretty accomplished musician herself. If you listen to her music, it's clearly like ours. Clearly, the roots are from 70s and 80s rock. You know,
I find that with a lot of musicians, especially younger ones I work with. For some reason, they know all the classic stuff and they relate to it.
Yeah, they really do. You know.
So as Bill would put it, that's good parenting.
Yeah,
we're stealing each other's lines tonight.
We are tonight.
But it gets to the point where they never play their. I mean, they don't play instruments anymore. I mean, there's not really any musicianship anymore. You know, that's where you want to hear good musicians and great writing and actual with some feeling. You know, now it's nobody plays anything, and they're, you know, guys in suits are writing the lyrics. You know, that's basically what you're getting.
Remember the old Wendy's commercial? Where's the beef?
My kids are
listening to music in the 90s and 2000s, going, "Where's the solo? Where's the solo?" You know, exactly. And I'm like, "You wouldn't believe it, but that band is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." They're like, "They only play four fucking chords. Where's the solo?" You know?
So. Yeah, and that other band that your dad showed you, they're not in there. How can that even be?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the flip side of that. Unfair.
Unfair. So they grew up with an ear for technical proficiency. You know, not wow. I saw MTV and I want to be famous, so I learned four chords and wrote a bunch of songs. And you know, but that worked for some people. It can't work for me.
I do think there's my friend who is. He's a little bit older, but, you know, he would come when I had a recording studio here. He would come to the studio and watch me producing these bands. And one day he said to me, why is it that? And that I listened to modern songs. This was in the 90s. But he said, why is it I listen to that? But the stuff I hear in the 60s and even the 50s, it sounds so great. And I said, you know, the reason is that they use large diaphragm microphones, only a few of them. But they had musicians who, when they counted off the song, they actually performed it with feeling together until the end of the song. You know, my friend telling me the story about, he works in a major studio as an engineer, and he said a young trumpet player came in, and he just played like a little part, and he stopped. He goes, well, what about the rest of the track? He goes, just bounce it, just copy it and paste it. He wouldn't even play the whole piece. Not, you know, didn't even try to play the whole piece. Man. Because the technology is there. So I think in some ways that's, you know, it's a little bit painful to hear that. On the other hand, there's so many phenomenal young musicians who can play from the top. And, you know, that the level of musicianship has improved so much over the years because they have the advantage of YouTube and so on and tablature. You know, they can just knock stuff out and start early on with great technique, you know, so they know all the tricks and they know how to dial it in fast.
Oh yeah, not to knock anything that isn't old, because I think it's coming around now. People, like you said, because their ability to access the YouTube videos and truly learn the instrument, rock is getting better again. I think what goes around comes around. There'll be a resurgence in it, in all this watered down, electric, pasted together stuff. Hopefully, will go away.
That would be a good rat song, I think. Goes around, comes around.
Yeah, something like that.
And then maybe we get a commercial. You should write something like that. See what it comes, Geico, what comes out.
You get a Geico commercial. 30 years later, you'll be in a Geico commercial.
40, yeah. Exactly.
But no, I think, too, with the people having the ability to, you know, basically record studio quality stuff at their home, you know, these younger kids are going to be, you're going to see hopefully a lot of good music coming out of that, because they don't have to, you know, we don't have the money to scrape up to go to a studio to record something like it was back in our day. Now you can just do it at home, and it's quality stuff, you know.
I think you'll see a lot of creativity. I mean, there is still a lot of tendency to use loops, but I think you'll see a lot of creativity.
Yeah, so to get back to the earlier question, that's what I try to listen to. I find it on the internet because you can't find it on the radio. And I really don't listen to Spotify, you know, too much. For a guy that's been in music all my adult life, I don't listen to a lot of the music because I think it would too much shape what I'm going to write tomorrow. And I don't want to be influenced too much by what's going on. I don't ever want to be shaped by what's going on. I want to be shaped by, you know, what came in my head and sounded good to me in order to stay original, you know?
Right.
And I, on the other hand, listen to everything and I steal from everyone.
And have no shame.
Well, like Paul Stanley
no
says,
shame. No
like
shame.
Paul Stanley says, if you're gonna steal, don't steal a piece of glass, steal a diamond.
Yeah, really. No kidding.
Exactly.
Even so, I actually found Ghost online. I didn't know Ghost was even a famous band, you know. Oh. And then I heard some Ghost stuff online. I'm like, wow, I really dig this stuff. You know, and then the next thing you know, they're playing it on all the local stations. Mm-hmm. So I thought I discovered something. And I was just late to the party.
You should ask one of your kids that it told you about Ghost, because you were a good dad and got them to listen to that kind of stuff.
They probably would have. Well, that just goes to show that I know absolutely nothing about it. And they were on top of it from the beginning. And we both agreed that we came, you know, by different roads to agree that it was a great band. I really like some of their stuff. I really do.
That's great. So are the your album is out now or is coming out?
The album is available for download. If you go to
download, okay,
CanadyBand.com, which is CANEDY
right,
band.com, and you can do a download. You can, you know, there's a lot there. You can sign up for the mailing list, photos, video, download the album. And you can pre-order the album and CD, so vinyl and
gotcha.
CD.
Gotcha. I do want to get the vinyl. I want to get the vinyl of that, so I'm definitely going to.
And that's, I think that should ship. I think they're saying August 14th. But again, you know, this the whole COVID-19 pandemic makes everything subject to change. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to get it on vinyl myself.
Yeah. Is this going to be available also like on the streaming services like Spotify and all those?
It's too? Everywhere now.
Yeah, okay, so, good. It's good. Good.
Apple Music, iTunes, you know, Spotify, Deezer, you know, everywhere.
Awesome. Yeah, I do want to get the vinyl. I will definitely be putting my order in. So.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that support. We really appreciate the support here because there's no live date. So you guys are the only way the music is still alive. So thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be glad to help plug it for sure, because it's like I said, it's a great record. We start to finish, you know, all Thriller, no filler, that's for sure. Didn't skip one, man.
That's, I know. You know, that's
the last couple of things I've listened to recently, that's not been the case. But you know, like Dennis said, for me at least, that's that first song. If that first song doesn't hook me, we're done. I got nothing. I'm very
that's so great to hear. And you know, you talked about Steve Wright, and Steve Wright actually started to sequence the album, but we wound up, I think, you know, so we did sequence the album, and I love that version of his, but Johnny Z, you know, the great Johnny Z signed Metallica, Megaforce Records, and so on. Johnny Z is a good friend, and Johnny Z said, hey, I want to sequence the album, and he's the one who sequenced this album. So we have him to thank for the running order.
He did a good job, because like I said,
yeah, he did a good job.
And like I said, there's not a bad song on there. So you really, I mean, sequenced it probably three ways, and still probably come out really good. You know?
Well, thanks for that.
It does. It flows really well. And like I said, it's a good album, start to finish, and I really enjoyed it. It's good to hear some good stuff for a change.
So when you guys play live, how many, what does your set usually consist of? Are you doing all originals? Are you doing Rod stuff? Are you doing cover stuff?
Well, the entire
everything.
Album. The entire album. And we did do, we needed extra time. We headlined Blues on the Bridge, and we needed extra time. We did a Judas Priest song, right?
Yeah.
Another thing coming.
So it's a good thing we knew it, because we didn't have anything else to give. We just did everything we had, and I just wanted to hear one more.
I don't know if we even rehearsed that.
No. But it's one of those songs you grew up playing, so we all had to know it.
Well, yeah. We are starting to write.
Guilty.
We are starting to write some more material, so hopefully we'll have an extra song or two pretty soon. By the way, what are those guitars in the back? What do you have?
It's a Les Paul. It's a studio, and a Kramer, and then it's a vintage guitar. It's a vintage brand. It's kind of a knockoff of a Les Paul, but they're a fantastic guitar.
Show them your newest guitar. Show them that thing. That thing's badass, man.
By the way, while he's getting the guitar, the other day I started looking for. I always love Rickenbackers, but I don't want to spend $2,000 hanging on the wall. So I was looking at.
There's a guy here in town that is a. Found out he builds.
Hold on a second, Dennis.
Guitar. What's that?
Go ahead, Carl.
So anyway, Charlie, the guitarist, he was showing me some. You can buy these Chinese Rickenbacker knockoffs, and then you can go buy the nameplate, right? So I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at these things, going, yeah, look, I want one. So pretty soon, I talked myself into a $500 wall hanging, and I kept looking at them, and then compare them to regular Rickenbackers, and finally. I told him tonight when I walked in, I spent about an hour and a half looking at the guitars, and I'm like, wait, I have so much shit that I can't put on my walls, and it's like sitting on the floor in a pile about a foot and a half deep that I can't hang up, and I'm thinking I'm going to go spend $500 for a Rickenbacker knockoff to hang on the wall, and after looking at it for an hour and a half, I thought, what am I doing? I got to see the Rickenbacker enough, so I was like, yeah, it's great. Don't need it. So anyway, let's see the guitar.
We have a guy here in Boonville that actually hand makes guitars, and I went out there, and it's Harper's is his brand, but he took this thing. It's an odd shaped wood. Yeah, it's all custom made. It's just a beautiful guitar. Satin back, and even got my name engraved in it. And
cool.
I mean, it's just a really fine. It's real lightweight.
Oh, you can see the craftsmanship. And you know what? When you're paying $150 for a guitar, you want something that nice.
you better add a zero or two on that. It wasn't cheap, but I considered it an investment. You know, I've got some other ones. I've got some Gibson Custom Shop and some other stuff, but those are the ones I just keep out to play real quick to throw up. You know, just something to. Grab and knock off some stuff. I keep everything else over there. But yeah, it's a hobby. But starting to get some arthritic. Yes, unfortunately. I'm done. No, I told my wife, I said that was the last one I was gonna buy for a while. So I think I'm good for
right.
A while. I know. Mm-hmm. I keep telling myself that.
Are you drinking again already?
It just reminded water. Me of that Ray Liotta meme that's all around, you know.
Yeah. That's the last. So my last one, yeah. Yeah.
I just bought a new guitar. Oh, are you going to sell the other one?
Yeah. No. I would like to have a Kemper though. Those Kemper amps are nice.
Yes. Yeah,
they're beautiful. Are. So yeah.
What do you guys play? Yeah. Yeah. That's usually we talk about rigs.
Yeah.
Well, I have some amps and guitars, but I'll talk about my drums. I'm using Pearl drums.
Sure. Pearl's cool.
But I have, some endorsements. So I use Evans heads. I use Kasha cymbals, which I love. I use Vic Firth drumsticks. I've been using endorsed by Vic Firth for 30 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long. And, what are my other endorsements? I'm trying to think. I have a bunch of them, but Sim pads, but, you know, my kits, I have a couple. I have a Masters recording kit, and that is.
Oops. Did we lose his feed?
And are you guys here?
There we go.
Yeah, hey. There we are.
So I have a Pearl Masters that I record with. Can you still hear me? Or say
yeah.
Something?
Yeah. Let's
see if I can.
Yeah, we can hear you.
No, I can't hear you.
I got to do the speaker.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sorry, give me a second here.
Sure.
And let's see what we have here. Okay. Zoom. What's up? Okay, are you guys there?
Can you hear us now?
Yep. There we go. Okay, sorry.
He found the button.
Yeah.
Oh.
He found it. Phone call came.
Oh, so, okay.
Oh, was that my hands?
Oh, there we go. Now we can see everybody.
Yeah, all right.
that. So what was I saying? So my endorsements, I use that, but I have a Pearl Masters kit that I record with at my house, and that's never seen the light of day. So that just stays inside. And then I have other drum kits, but mostly I use my Pearls live, and I use my Pearls to record with.
That's cool.
Nice.
And Charlie is a total gear geek, as is Tony. So Tony has a lot of basses. In fact, there's a song, Hellride, that has a cello part. And Tony went out, bought a cello. I think he has two of them now, right?
So, yeah.
And then cool. He wound up taking cello lessons from a woman who performed for, I'm trying to think who, like major, you know, Metropolitan Opera in New York City and whatever. She tours all over with all the major people. And he started taking lessons, and he wrote the part and played the cello part just because he wanted to. So he's got
tons of
gear and lots of basses. And we always laugh about that with Tony, because Tony is always just, this is my last bass. I told my wife, this is it. This is my last bass. Then the next thing you know, he'll talk about, I saw this bass. It's really nice. And the Gibson 5-string, I'm thinking about getting it. I don't know. And I'm like, okay, it'll be here in a week. And
and Charlie shows up with a different rig, a different guitar every time. So yeah. he just tries. He has to try them all.
You got him. You want to play him. That's the whole point.
Oh yeah,
and, but he gets great sound. Like every bass just sounds great right out of the just direct plugging.
Awesome.
Mike, what about your microphone? Tell us about your gold plated microphone. diamond encrusted gold plated microphone.
I've invested heavily in the equipment that God gave me, and that's all I bring with me. So typical singer.
I will say this about Mike. Mike can nail everything he does on the album every time. And I don't want it. He doesn't have LSD, so I don't want it to start. It's a very, very bad disease, but he's really, I have to say, he nails it.
Well, whenever I write a song, I try to stay conscious of the fact that, you know, I have to sing it live, right? So right. I am not going to do something on the album that's going to disappoint a bunch of people who came to see us. So I keep it within the envelope. So because you can't be 100% healthy all the time. There are going to be nights you're going to be singing tired, and there's going to be nights you're going to be singing sick. And you sing sick once, and you're down for weeks, right? So you have to keep the stuff on the album doable.
Right.
So, Mike, you're not singing at the same register you were singing 20, 30 years ago?
To be completely honest with you, for reasons that I cannot understand, the albums that we recorded back in 90 and 93, I think I have one or two extra notes on top now that I didn't have back then. I have lost one or two of my bottom notes. And you know, that happens when you're really singing and you're hitting all the higher notes, your throat will tighten up, you know, so you're not going to do the take on me. You're not going to get that lower one. You know, it's just not going to happen that night. So don't write anything like that, you know, space the songs out. Whereas if you have to stay low for a while, don't do that song after you just, you know, had to crank up on your underwear for the tune before. So just don't do it.
Not that I'm not sad that you've lost a couple of lower notes, but I'm really glad you don't sing that song.
Oh yeah. Not anymore.
There's a lot of guys, you see a lot of guys out there now that are frontmen that have been singing for years and years and years, and they've, you know, lost some of that register, and they're struggling a little bit and stuff like that. So it's good to know that, you know, you've got it under control, and, you know, don't write in that manner to where you're going to put yourself in that position again. So that's good.
It is impressive. And you always see, you go to a concert now, and a lot of times the guys who can't do it, you get to the chorus and you see the
it's like
yeah. You sing the chorus, guys. I can't.
Yeah.
I think Vince Neil does that with every song. It's either and then every other. Yeah.
Well, between that and other people who just sing their asses off, but unless the tape ever screws up, and then they're going to be okay, you know. But yeah. Yeah. Won't mention any names, but I think we know who we're talking about. But But no, they're, and they're, the there's still the some guys before. Out there that can still hit, you know. So
they can. That's true. The night before I'll sing like a handful of my favorite songs that I know. If I can hit those songs the night before I sing, I'm going to have a great night. And even if I can't hit them, if I do a decent job on them, I'm still going to have a good night, you know.
Right.
So there's a handful of songs that I'll rehearse to get a gauge on how things are going to work out for me the next day.
Well, that's good.
You know, Ronnie Dio, just his 10th anniversary of his death last week. But, you know, one of the things with Ronnie was I always heard from David that Ronnie was just, he didn't sing with a high volume, but it was unbelievable to watch him. And I just read a thing where Simon Wright was saying that, I think it was Simon, that Ronnie never warmed up. And so, and he didn't warm up. You know, I saw it myself. He was here and before the Radio City show, but he was here at Binghamton Arena. And we're all backstage and just hanging out. And he's just, he goes, well, and he cracks open a beer and has a couple sips. And then he goes, oh, what shall I wear? And he goes and gets a shirt and he's just hanging around. And he goes, okay, guys, let's go. We all go up to the stage. And he sang his balls off. And at the end of the night, like the last of that set, he was screaming like he was 18 years old.
Wow. He
never warmed up. And I was always shocked and impressed by that. But I guess that was the way it was for him.
Yep. And he sang with such an expression. He didn't need to have, and I'm sure he did, but he didn't need to go out there and get up and down those scales and give you the whole 3.5 octave range.
Right.
I don't know if he had one. I wouldn't change a note of what he did. I really wouldn't. He just, he sang for those songs and you can't do any better.
No, he was, like I said, I was just watching a thing the other day. A friend of ours put together a kind of a anniversary video and I was watching it and had a bunch of clips of him singing this. That's like, man, it's just, it's a shame he's gone. Cause that dude could, like I said, he could sing just unbelievable. Real big fan. Never got to see him live. That's one thing I wish I could have.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Really?
No, the one time he came to Evansville, the concert got canceled. You know, of course, lack of sales because our town's stupid. So, I mean, I had my ticket, but you know, didn't sell enough. So, but yeah, it was. I wish I could have seen that though. That was. I remember what tour that was. I think it was during the Last in Line tour. I think it was.
Yeah, I saw the Last in Line tour.
Yeah, I like to see that.
It's a good show.
All righty.
Yeah, great band. I like Blast in Line.
Yeah, they're for sure. Yep.
Yeah, I want to see that.
All right, so where can people find your stuff, Carl? Where do you want them to go to?
They can go to canedyband.com, and it's C-A-N-E-D-Y band.com. Yes, because a lot of people, when they hear the name, if you just say it, Kennedy, they spell it with a K, which my family was Kennedy until the Civil War, where they traced it back to our ancestor joining the, I think it was the Union, and they signed with an X, and that's the first time that it appears as C-A-N-E-D-Y. So, bane of my existence my whole life, I've taught my daughter to only spell it, never say it, because people go into this little time warp. So it's C-A-N-E-D-Y band.com, and you can find everything there. You know, you can pre-order the album, you can download digital, you can check out photos, video. We actually have a new video coming. We actually have quite a few in the can videos now that we'll be releasing little by little here. So a lot of
I watched The Warrior. I watched The Warrior the other day, and I liked that. It was really good.
We have a lyric video for Warrior coming next.
Cool.
All right, fellas, thank you very much for being on the show. Hang around for just a second. Alan's going to take us out of here. And
thank you, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, people, you know the drill. agesofrock.com. Find our social media links there. Find our past episodes. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.